Well, first of all, Tom, I think we need to talk about what folk art is. And one person I heard describe it as art of the common people. Do you think that's a pretty good description?
That is literally what it means, because it's folk. But I think there are other people that have other names for this work. Some people call it outsider art because the artists are not part of the academic art system. Some people call it self-taught art because the artists are, in fact, self-taught. There are other terms like grassroots art, idiosyncratic art, but I'm not that interested in what you call it. I'm more interested in the work.
I also heard it described as art unhindered by art history.
That's right, because most of these people have obviously no training in art history. That's not to say that they haven't looked at other art. There's a copy of the Mona Lisa in the show, so a little bit of, you know, sort of popular awareness of art history, and to the extent that, you know, any of these artists have picked up on that. But otherwise, yeah, you know, they're not educated in the arts. They're certainly very competent and educated in other areas of their lives in most cases.
In this case, for example, this exhibit was more or less collected by a couple, and they discovered many of these artists on their own. Is that a common way for folk artists to get recognition, is they really end up with some sort of patron, as it were?
Yes. Willem and Diane Volkers have been collecting this work since the 1970s, and there was not at that time a lot of widespread interest. So many of these artists were still undiscovered, and I think in most cases Willem found them by driving. You know, he just drove. A lot of these people create environments in their yards. So with a number of them, Willem happened to drive by their house and saw something in the yard that caught his eye, and so he stopped and met the people who lived there, photographed, and you know, found out that they had more things. So
part of folk art in America, anyway, comes from an African-American tradition of so-called yard shows.
That's an African-American tradition, but it's also, it's not exclusively African-American. The African-American yard shows have certain characteristics that can often be connected with African tradition. But, you know, the impulse to decorate is universal. And so in some cases, I think some of the Caucasian artists might have been inspired by black yard shows. But in most cases, I think it's been a pretty individual decision. A lot of these people are retired, or maybe they've been disabled, and so suddenly they find themselves, after a lifetime of working hard at a trade, with time on their hands, and so they take up a creative pastime, or they start decorating their yard, and one thing leads to another, and it suddenly becomes, you know, sort of takes over their lives.
One of those African-American artists is Mary Tillman Smith, and I think she has a piece in this exhibit. Look at those, okay?
Okay. Well, we have one right here. Mary Smith was an African-American artist who lived in Hazelhurst, Mississippi, and she, her house and yard were right on a major highway. I think it's Highway 51, the famous Highway of the Blues songs. She did huge paintings on roofing tin and scrap pieces of plywood, and she put them up all over her yard. And this is typical of one of her yard paintings, and it's a quadruped. We can tell that from looking at it. It's kind of hard to tell from looking at the image whether it might be a dog or a cow or a cat, but it has text on it, as all of her work does. And you can tell by the text reads, "Hog meat good, I want some now, ha ha." So it's a pig, obviously, although it's a kind of an unusual looking pig. This is a fairly compact piece. She had much larger pieces than these, and you could see them from a great distance. So it was quite a lot of impact to her yard show, and a lot of people noticed it. And I think Willem Volkers was one of the very first people to, as far as I know, he was the first person to collect her work. I have yet to find anyone else who was onto her before he was. And she's since become a very well-known artist.
And this, of course, expresses her personal affinity for pork, I guess.
Exactly. And that's, you know, it's just whatever was on her mind at a particular time. Obviously, she probably made this in just a few minutes. She didn't labor on her painting. She just got the message across and put the thing out there and then went on and did the next thing. So she didn't have time to waste.
Another artist in the exhibit that we're looking at here is Howard Finster, and he was a Southern preacher.
Howard Finster was a circuit riding Baptist preacher in North Georgia, and he's probably the best known artist in the exhibition. He started creating a paradise garden, he called it, in his backyard. He had a swampy backyard that was just, you know, kind of wasteland, and people had been using it for a dump before he bought it. And he cleared out the whole yard. He channeled the water into streams, and then he created a number of sculptures and small architectural structures in the garden. And then he started collecting all sorts of objects to display there. And he said he was collecting the inventions of mankind, and he wanted to get one of everything in the world. That was his goal. And at some point in 1976, he had a sideline business as a bicycle repairman, and he was working on a kid's bike, and he was patching part of it, and he had a paint smudge on his fingertip, and he said that he looked at his fingertip, and suddenly a human face appeared to him on his fingertip in that paint smudge. And he said, a warm feeling come over my body. And a voice spoke to me and said, paint sacred art. And he said, you know, I can't paint art. I'm not a painter. I'm not an artist. And the voice was very insistent. So he said he took out a dollar bill from his wallet, tacked it up on the wall, and drew George Washington's portrait off of the dollar bill, and then painted it. And that became his first painting. And that set him off on this incredible career of painting thousands and thousands and thousands of artworks. I mean, I think there were, and he numbered every one of them. So toward the end of his life, he had, you know, it was definitely five figures. You know, it's like 40,000 pieces or more. And this piece here is called The Devil's Vice, and it's a very typical Howard Finster painting. It's a cutout image of a carpenter's vice or a woodworker's vice, V-I-S-E, that you would, you know, clamp something into and twist the handle. But he's playing with the word vice and vice as in, you know, the seven deadly sins, or vice as a sinful action or evil action. And he's got a figure trapped in the vice here. And then the thing is covered with color and text. And some of it is probably biblical verses. It's usually sort of a biblical inspiration, but he would just kind of free associate. He's almost like a form of automatic writing that he would do. It's a cutout. It's on a piece of plywood so that the shape of the vise and the little figure is cut out. And he did a lot of these pieces. And there are several other pieces of Finster's in the collection. He became very well known when he did record album covers for Talking Heads and REM, and suddenly he became an international phenomenon. And he was on the Johnny Carson show, and mm-hmm. So he became very, very popular.
All from that George Washington dollar bill painting.
Starting off from that, yeah. And another sculptor whose work really appeals to me a lot is Mark Negus, and he is a miniaturist. Let's walk over here and look at these small carvings that he's done. They're incredibly intricate. And this is one of the artists that actually contacted Willem and Diane. I think he had read an article in a newspaper about their collection, and he noticed that they collected work by self-taught artists, and he was one of those. So he sent them... It's one of these pieces he sent them in the mail, you know, that sparked their interest, so they got back in touch with him, and then they started collecting a lot of the pieces. All of these pieces would fit in the palm of your hand. They are figure carvings, but they're also semi-functional. One is a spoon. That one is called a proper pauper's pea spoon, and the actual figure of the pauper is the handle of the spoon. And I guess you could actually use that. It's a pretty small spoon. But
and they're made out of different materials.
That's right. Some of they're carved wood, and they are some of them. This is a little bent metal piece. He's bent this little metal band. It's like a piece of copper. Maybe it's two pieces of copper to create a little silhouette of a winged rabbit. And he's got a little text drawing here that says, "Place next to ears and play wings as if kalimba." A kalimba is an African percussion instrument that you play with your thumbs. It's like sometimes called a thumb piano. So if you look carefully at the wings, they're cut into little strips like the individual pieces of metal on a kalimba. So apparently, I can't do that because it's under glass, but apparently...
It makes you want to play it, though, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And he titled the piece Welsh Rarebit, with a very odd spelling. These are just terrific pieces, though. I never met Mark Negus, but I never knew his work before I saw the collection, but I'm fascinated by this artist, and I really want to see more of his work.
I think what strikes me just looking over all at the exhibit is how eclectic it is and how intriguing each piece is. I mean, there's nothing here that's similar to anything else in
the
exhibit.
Right. That's right. With these artists, they're all individuals expressing their individual creativity. And, you know, and it's one of the, if you want to say there's an advantage to being ignorant of art history, it's one of the, you know, it's one of the advantages for these people anyway, in that, you know, they're really coming at the work from a very personal place. And a lot of times it's eccentric, it's idiosyncratic, but, you know, that's like a huge part of its charm, I think. And it's very American in that sense.
Well, I have been speaking with Tom Patterson. He's a curator and a folk art expert. And Mr. Patterson, thank you so much for giving me a personal tour. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. It's been fun.